Calvin, bro.
What's up, brother? How are you?
Just chilling, man. How's awesome. It going? How's life?
Life is very interesting these days, I must say.
Yeah? Tell me the first thing that comes to your head. Oh, sick. There you go. Oh, yeah, nice
background. There I am.
Sweet.
All right. What's up, brother?
Chilling, man. Nice to see your face. Nice
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good to see you, too. Good to see you, too.
So just so everyone knows, I was highly recommended to speak with you, Matthew. And I just have a feeling I saw one of your videos on YouTube and I thought, oh, my gosh, let's just go live because I just know what you've done so far. I'm super interested in it. And the audience who watches this show is super interested in it. But if you can just maybe give an intro to those who might not know who you are.
All right. Yeah. So my name is Matthew Tuccheroni. I'm an American State National. I've been a national for the past year now, and still going through the process. I'm actually getting ready to get my passport all situated as well. So, all right. So how I became involved in the American State National process was obviously ever since, you know, the pandemic, I would say, something wasn't right. And I knew something wasn't right. And I just started digging really, really deep. And I came across American State National, the process. And I was like, what is this? So I started educating myself and pretty much found out that this entire government as we know it is a corporation. And that is the matrix right there. It all has to do with the law, the Bar Association, and all that. That's how they've gotten us trapped. So I actually, when I really figured out that this process works, was actually I gave it a test run and I've went to jail a couple times.
Nice. Yeah, we're in the club.
So I've you know, that's pretty much how I really started digging deep into this process was getting arrested. Yeah. So I've been arrested twice. One was for the mask at Natural Grocers here in Sedona.
Yeah. You chose not to wear it and you got arrested?
Well, yeah. So 15 of us decided to go on a mask-free shopping spree in December of 2020.
That's fantastic. That's
great. It's one of my first videos on my YouTube channel. You can scroll back. It went viral a little bit, but then everyone they started pulling their crap once it started going viral, of course. And then they sent in their trolls that were pro maskers and all that stuff. So wow. But the footage is there. The cops in Sedona are definitely, I would say, paid opposition. They're probably part of the whole entire UN. And a lot of people don't realize that too, is that most of our municipality police officers are controlled by the UN through a publications act that happened through the Department of State in 1961.
Wow.
Publication 6227, the UN came in through the State Department and requested that all municipality police officers start figuring out a way to control our Second Amendment rights.
Whoa.
You can definitely look that up through, it's there. I mean, it's all there. I mean, the laws are there. All these, yeah, publications 6227.
Holy smoke.
So, yeah, there's just, you know, Nick, there's so much to this.
So much. Like last night we had Anil on and he spoke for 2.5 hours straight and I just had to chill. I mean, there's so much to talk about. You could talk for days about all this. So what was it that really kicked you into fifth gear and trying to get your freedoms back? Was it one situation or was it just a bunch? Ooh, it's cutting up.
What really kicked? Ooh. It was a bunch of situations. I would definitely, yeah, it is cutting up. Is that?
Yeah. Maybe they know what we're talking about, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, they...
How's your Wi-Fi?
I can tether. Sometimes my Wi-Fi, when I do these, it starts to go in and out. I'm wondering if I should just tether off of my...
Yeah. I'm directly plugged in.
All right, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, okay. You're staying in clear now. Well, yeah, you haven't dropped out.
I haven't dropped out. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Tight.
All right, so the question was, again, say that again.
Yeah.
How did I...
Yeah. Once you stumbled upon American National, what was that you did after to test it out?
So when I got arrested the first time in Natural Grocers for the no mask thing, I wasn't a state national yet.
Okay.
And then literally 2 days after I got out of jail, which they only kept me in there for 24 hours. They can't really keep you that long anyways. So when I got out of jail, I got invited to this house gathering here in Sedona, and someone's like, Matthew, you're going to really want to be here for this. So I went to this house gathering and I met somebody who is involved in American State National stuff, which I did one program, which is the Anna Von Reitz program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I'm digging deeper and deeper and deeper, her program's fine, but she only gets you to declare and decree. Yeah. You set the intentions with her, but other than that, there's other jurisdictions in the system that you need to take control over. Yeah. And that's where she fails at that. So I was with that process for about a year, and now I'm completing David Strait's process.
Amazing. That clears a lot of the air, because I've had a few guests who are like, hey, man, if you're going down her route, you might get yourself into trouble someday. And it makes sense, because if you're not understanding jurisdictions and where they can rope you back in, then of course you probably will get in trouble. Is there a reason why she's doing that? Does she let people know there's like a step two, or is she just ignorant?
Good question, Nick. So I've had my run in with Anna Von Reitz as of recently. I was actually part of their assembly here in Arizona.
Wow.
And I was one of the county chairmen and a recording secretary, which the recording secretaries do the paperwork and record your paperwork. But the minute I started getting more involved with the Patriot groups, i.e. going more public about this stuff on my channel and reaching out to work with other Patriot groups, the assembly started coming after me.
Oh, shit.
So, you know, this is the first time I'm actually publicly talking about this. But it needs to get out there, because for whatever reason, I can't really say if she is nefarious or not, but something doesn't add up when it comes to her process. And they do. You get to the land and soil jurisdiction, and then if the water comes back up and sweeps you back out in the commerce law, you have no dominion over it with her process. And she allows you, what you do to get involved with her process is you have to give up your birth certificate information to her land recording system. And then she's creating these vendor cards with pulling our assessed QV trust from our CUSIP numbers on our birth certificates. And then you get a vendor card, but they control it. So why that's not any better than the current system we're in. That's flat out socialism is what I'm gathering. So why would you want somebody to be the fiduciary over your trust when David Strait teaches you how to be your own fiduciary over your own trust? Mm. So with the backlash that I've received from the assembly, something isn't adding up. And a lot of people in my county, once I dropped from the chair position, everybody else on my executive board just followed suit. They just started dropping too. There's something not right with Anna Von Reitz.
Yeah, Anna Von Not Rights.
Yeah. Anna
Not Rights. That is huge, bro. You went in there like a candle and just enlightened everybody by being you. And the cool thing is, you said you weren't even dipping your toes into this until after December 2020. And it's only 2022 right now. So anyone who's watching, it's possible to look, you're already a chairman. Like, you were already a chairman of that. Like, things happened quick once you decided you wanted to do this.
Right. Absolutely.
That's freaking cool.
So things. Yeah. And when I say when you declare and decree, and that's one of the major things about me and a couple other groups I'm working with Nikki Klon too, for Bonds for the Win. I'm not sure if you've you've heard about what's going on with Bonds for the Win.
Oh, what's that? But,
Bonds for the Win. Bonds for the Win is, if you go to bondsforthewin.com, pretty much all these mothers got together here in Arizona, got really upset at the school boards for what they're doing to the kids. Obviously, the forced vaccination. I'm going to keep that. I know we're live on YouTube, so I'm going to keep that to, you know, the forced whatever.
Yeah.
And then this of our children. So they got together and they did their research. And this is what's great about being an American state national is what Mickey Klein did. She didn't even know that this is part of being a state national. And she's actually currently in the process of becoming a state national too. As well. So everyone is bonded. So think about the elected officials, okay? Everyone, every state elected, every federally elected official has a bond. That bond is their insurance policy for upholding their oaths of office. Think about this. You go to jail, you get bailed out, you can't afford $1 million bond. So what do? You go to a bondsman and you pay 10%, and that bondsman holds a surety over you saying, Matthew, you will show up to court at this certain time, blah, blah, blah. If not, whoever pulled the bond for you is responsible for you not showing up. So think about this as a state elected official. They're held responsible for not showing up to their elected duties of office, which is upholding the Constitution of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So these mothers got together and figured out a way, which is totally, totally legal in the way they're doing this, and it's out there. You have to submit a FOIA request. That is step one to obtaining a bond for these elected officials. It's the Freedom of Information Act. It's a FOIA request. And through the Sunshine Act as well, they have to produce their insurance policy and their bonds and their oaths of office through this step. So on her website is step one. There's a FOIA request letter sample there. You can tailor it to your own. Just make sure that you put in the right statutes and everything that she has listed on there. You go say, I say the best way to do it is for me in Sedona, I actually 2 weeks ago just pulled the bonds and the oaths of office for the mayor, her city council, and the chief of police.
Wow. So
what you do is go there, go to the city clerk, or go to the county clerk, whoever you're pulling the bond for, and submit it. They have 72 hours to give you back a policy.
Wow.
So within 72 hours, I submitted this FOIA request, and I have their oath of office and their insurance policy. So what Bonds for the Win, these mothers got together, and they were able to start pulling these bonds for these elected school officials.
Yeah.
And then step two is creating a letter of intent, saying that you will go after their insurance policy if they keep X, Y, and Z up, and if they don't do, you know, if they don't meet the demands of these stupid policies that are in place.
Yeah.
So this has worked. And then it started working in Arizona. Mandates were starting to be lifted. Then we have now Telegram groups for each 50 of each states. So all 50 states. Everyone's coming together. I think we have over like 50,000 people that are involved in this whole entire process now nationwide.
Wow.
And things are getting lifted. There's a girl, her name is, she goes by Violet. She pulled the bonds for her school district in Illinois with her son who has autism. And they were trying to make him wear the, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was successful at that. They started lifting mandates in her school district. As you know, California, as of March 9th, have lifted all mandates statewide. And on March 11th, all schools in California have lifted their mandates as well. Because we've been putting pressure on these elected officials by holding their bonds over their head.
That's fantastic. This is new revolution kind of stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
You're fighting with the pen, bro. The pen is... Yeah, that's mightier than the sword. Yeah.
That's it.
Right?
That is it. We are, I would say right now, we all know that we're in this battle right now. We all know it's a spiritual battle. Right now, we're in the portion of this war I call the paper war. Ooh. It's all about paperwork right now. All about the pen, the paperwork, and all of that. you know, do we want it to go hot? Absolutely not. But right now we're paper pushing. Yeah. And because of what we've done with the bonds, we've been labeled as MSNBC labeled us. I'll have to text you the article, but they wrote a whole, I mean, they wrote like a novel of an article and blasted bonds for the win. This is how you know where you're over the target. They called us paper terrorists.
Oh my God, it's hilarious. No, they are the paper terrorists. They are the ones who threw this paper matrix over us and tricked us into saying we are that piece of paper when we're not.
Yes. Yes.
Mother suckers.
Yes.
Wow.
And it's hilarious because we're like paper terrorists. All right. Well, I mean, essentially, fine. If that's what they want to label us as, they say that we're clogging their systems with paperwork, that the school districts, how dare us do that, that we're hurting the children, that they need to get through this, you know what, demic.
Yeah.
And that we're stalling the progression of them getting the kids through this demic.
Wow.
It's hilarious the way they portrayed us. You know, Mickey Klon is a paper terrorist. She's a flat earther, conspiracy theorist. I mean, they labeled her all over.
I love her already.
Over the target. I mean, and Vandersteel has picked up on this. And Vandersteel talks about this. Scott McKay talks about this right now. I mean, we're over the target. David Nino Rodriguez had Mickey Klon on a week ago on his channel. I mean, we're way over the target here with this.
Yeah.
And so what she did with Bonds for the Win, I reached out to her afterwards because I'm like, this is exactly what state nationals believe in. We always ask in courtrooms, produce the bonds. Can you produce your bond, please, judge? Usually they don't have an up-to-date bond and then case dismissed.
You mean I could have done that in my case with the January 6th?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, shit.
Oh, and that's the thing, Nick, is like all these patriots are doing great things like you. Your content is amazing. So thank you so much, honestly, to a lot of the content that you push on your platform.
Yeah.
Because it helped me understand exactly where we're at today. And then I'm like, I got to find a way to tie in this American State National stuff into all of this, your content that you're doing. And the best way for me to tell patriots right now is to correct your status. Correct your status, because if under Title 8, Section 1101, it says right there, there's a list of statuses. An American state national status is your diplomatic immunity. You are free from that matrix. And we were only free for a short period of time when we were born. They created our birth certificate, but they don't register you until, on average, about 10 days after your birth. So everyone was born to their state nationalism, like, you know, domicile. Like for me, I was born in New York. I'm not a U.S. citizen. I'm a New Yorker.
Exactly.
Born in California, you were a Californian.
I became a citizen in California, still Californian.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Born in Venezuela, Caracas. Moved here on my first birthday. When I was 17, I became a citizen. So where I'm at right now is I know I need to find that certification, that naturalization. I got kicked out of my ex-wife's house, and it started this whole thing that became whatever I am. And in that process of moving around so much, I don't know where my shit went. And so I need to get I need to get my paper. I think it's $500 for a replacement, and it might take 6 months. So if anyone out there is in the same boat, you got to realize if you don't have some of the most important papers to start this, you can find them. You can get them replaced. It just takes time.
So do you have your certificate of natural? You need to get your certificate of naturalization.
That's where I am one, but I don't know where it is. So I need to get the replacement. I have my original Venezuelan birth certificate, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you you have a U.S. passport?
I do.
Ooh. Okay. So how did you obtain your first passport? Did you have to show your naturalization certificate first, or?
My first one, let's see, I've had three so far. First one was a Venezuelan, and then I think so. When I first got my passport renewed, I think I showed my, my certificate.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's probably where I lost it. It was like 2016, 2017.
Yeah. So you got to attain that certificate again, because you can start the process right now with David Strait, because the first step is your act of repudiation document, which is pretty much you're rescinding your U.S. citizenship. And then you put in right now, whatever state you were naturalized in. Were you naturalized in California?
Yeah.
You've always been in California.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's easy then. You just put like, you know, you switch it up too. So like in his documents, he gives you an edible doc. So you either take from it, you can delete certain things, you can add certain things in there. So you can say, I was naturalized this year, this date in California, and I currently live in California as a Californian. And that's it. You send it off to Antony Blinken, registered mail, once you create and complete your act of repudiation. And then you wait 21 days, you get a return receipt. And on the 22nd day from your return receipt, you then go and you go down to the county recording office anywhere. You can use any county in the U.S. to do this. Pima County in Arizona is very friendly, so I suggest sending your docs there to have it recorded. And you pretty much make an, I forgot what he called it. He called it a, oh gosh, what is it? So when they don't respond to you, when Antony Blinken's not going to respond to your affidavit, so they acquiesce, pretty much saying like, even though he didn't say anything, he's pretty much saying like, okay, you're a state national. So you got to make a record of that, a court of record. And making a court of record is going and recording this process, showing that you sent them registered mail, copying it. There's a whole process that, you know, I can walk people through when it comes to this. Oh. But that's pretty much all you have to do for step one.
Yeah.
And then step two would be getting your passport, so it reflects your American state national status.
That's what you're doing right now.
That's currently where I'm at right now. And I'm waiting on my birth certificate to be sent from New York, because I lost the certified copy when I did the Anna Von Wright's process. That's where I lost it. So I'm waiting on my birth certificate to come back from New York, and they said it could take 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay.
So right now I'm kind of like, I'm an American state national, but like once you do the act of repudiation, you've corrected your status, but you got to now take dominion over the air and the water. You're back to the land, but you got to keep going further and further into this matrix so you can hold dominion over the land, air, and water, which stands for law. That's what law really stands for.
Yeah, exactly.
As the common man, air is trust law, water is commerce and contract law, which is mainly where we're swimming right now. We're swimming in water.
Wow.
So
this is massive. Let's say I did the first step right now. And what does it mean to my probation that I'm on? Would they be like, hey, what would they even, I don't even think they would notice anything. They're so secluded. I could fly overseas. I don't think they would know anything.
No, they won't know anything about your status. Those are policy pushers. They're the policy enforcers. That's mm-hmm. what police stands for too. Policy, police, damn, policy. Wow. It's all about syntax too. You're going to learn a lot about syntax and legalese terms.
Yeah.
That they are trapped under. What I would say is that obviously, so you've already contracted with them. You've already settled pretty much, and you can't rescind anything that you've contracted currently in with the system. I would just say, hold out on this probation, just hold tight. But moving forward, once you start going through the process, you're definitely going to be able to work your way out of things, which is what happened to me in my second arrest. So
yeah. What was your second arrest?
Second arrest. So, all right. So kind of like what you've heard, guys, Anna Von Wright gets you to the land and soil. But when you get in trouble, you're pretty much like effed. The assembly won't come and help you. Okay. They won't. So what I did was, in the time of getting arrested and getting out of jail, I said, okay, you screwed that up with the cops in the body cam footage, you can see I didn't say certain things that I should have. But I think, though, through the body cam footage, everyone can clearly see that I was like peaceful.
Yeah.
You know, so they lied. The cops lied and made up a bunch of stuff. Pretty much, I was driving with my American State National Z plate on the back of my car. And the city of Sedona, they're so beyond corrupt and so uneducated when it comes to this stuff. This police officer pulled me over and went through a bunch of, you know, oh, according to statute, blah, 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 blah. Well, one, now that I know, now that I've done my research, statutes don't mean anything. Statutes, rules, and regulations are not the law. They're actually a fraud. It says so in a lot of the Supreme Court cases out there.
Wow. Yeah.
And there's so many Supreme Court cases out there that state you don't need a license plate, a license to drive a vehicle when you're traveling. He pulled me over. He said it was a fictitious plate. I was at peace with him. And I was just like, he wanted me to get out of the car. He goes, get out of the car. I'm like, I'm not getting out of the car over a plate, over a license plate, you know? And he did. He goes, I'm going to use force if you don't get out of the car. And I'm like, I'm not getting out of the car. And then he called for backup.
Backup came.
I knew every officer that came to the scene. And I was like, talking to this officer Beers, and I rolled down my window on my passenger side. I'm talking with her, and in the background you can hear him, Matthew, get out of the car now, get out. You could tell this guy was on a total ego trip.
That's so, what happens because you are triggering them, their power that they thought was unlimited, now you're showing is just imagined, and they're tripping. You're pulling the ego out of it so it gets stronger,
tripping out. Totally. So he then reached in my car, opened the door from the inside, then took me and threw me out of the car onto the ground, and then put me in handcuffs. So pretty much what he did was he pretty much assaulted me. He kidnapped me.
Wow. You can deal with that later.
Oh, and that's where I'm at right now. I'm actually filing a claim against the city of Sedona right now. And now that I've pulled their surety bond, they're tripping even more. The mayor and the vice mayor subscribed to my YouTube channel, and now they're keeping tabs on me as well.
Yeah, we're finding out, son. It's happening. This is the truest form of a very beautiful, clean revolution where you don't need to kill anybody. You just bust out a pen and you educate yourself and go against what they've been trying to get us like, dumbed down, docile, and just following the crowd. And it's not happening anymore. They can't push their narratives anymore.
No, they can't. They cannot. And, you know, and how I really got back at the cops so far is that I said, okay, that was bad. I went to jail for it. But when I got out of jail, because two of my friends called and said, do you know you just arrested an American State National? They called the county jail. The next day, I had three charges against me. This is how crazy the cop got. He told me, he goes, I'm charging you with a felony. I said, a felony for what? He goes, resisting arrest, causing injury to a police officer. And I said, I didn't cause injury. I go, I was in prayer mode. He goes, yes, but my supervisor is asking me to charge you with a felony because upon me pulling you out of the car, my knee hit the ground and tore my uniform. And now I have a little scratch on my kneecap. So therefore I'm charging you with resisting arrest, causing aggravated assault and injury to a police officer.
So obvious. It's so obvious. What? So now they're trying to play their fake game. It's a chess game right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're not even moving correctly on the board.
No. So I'm like looking at the charges when I get out of jail, and all my friends called and said, you've arrested an American State National and he shouldn't be housed there right now. There was no harm. There was no crime committed. And first of all, in order for it to be a crime, there has to be loss. There has to be some sort of damage or loss. Okay. Them putting on their lights for, you know, a traffic violation. If it was running a red light, if it was a DUI, that's one thing. Okay. But like for a fictitious plate charge is what he called it. There was no emergency. So therefore, he just wasted taxpayers' dollars for creating an emergency when there really was an emergency.
Yeah, he could have been elsewhere saving somebody from a real crime.
Exactly. And then when he called for backup, he even put in his police statement, I called for backup and I told them to step it up, which step it up is code, meaning he wanted lights and sirens. And he put that in his description, in his statement. He put, I asked them to step it up in parentheses, meaning I want lights or sirens. So he's now his ego's so big that he's now mocking the judge because he's now thinking the judge doesn't know what that means. And I'll tell you what, that was his first mistake. He pissed that judge off.
What?
So I got released out of jail. I had three charges. I'm sitting there. I'm like, my bail is going to be like, you know, 100 G's at least 100 G's. No, the judge goes, I'm releasing you on $100 cash bond. Do you have that? And I go, yeah, you guys took it when I was incarcerated.
Yes.
So it was $100. And people in the jail were looking at me. I get back to the waiting cell that I was in. This guy goes, dude, man, I only had a misdemeanor charge. You had all these crazy charges. My bond's $20,000. How is yours $100 cash? And I'm sitting there. I'm like, I need to keep my mouth shut and I need to get out of here as soon as possible because these people are going to start coming after me.
Holy shit,
and
bro.
They don't want you to know this. They don't want other people seeing what you're doing.
Yeah, no, they don't. Like this homie who, it was about to be my sentencing in January, and a friend, Eduardo, hit me up and he taught me the way. And he was like, maybe you can pull it off before your sentencing. We're dreaming. He wanted me to declare my status, my political status, just before, so then I could buy some more time and then build enough evidence to say that it was a case of mistaken identity. But it wasn't going to go down. It was just not enough time to do. And he told me when he was learning how to become sovereign, he was in jail. He was a banker and then he got put into jail. And the little clues that were left around, a lien with his name on it from one of the police officers or agents when he was getting arrested, he connected the dots because he's a banker. He's like, what does this have to do with my arrest? Oh my gosh, you guys are making money off of me. And so in jail, in prison, he was sentenced to 10 years. He was becoming sovereign in there and they all caught on. And when they caught on, they tortured him. They made his life a living hell. SWAT would come in and beat the shit out of him almost to death. And it made him stronger. He just kept going. And eventually he did it. And he presented the papers to the ward of the jail. And they were shocked at the words he was saying and at the paperwork that he presented. And then, can you lock down the jail, please? And then they escorted him out. And it worked. So yeah, you're right. They don't want people to know about this at all. No, they really don't. Yeah.
Not at all. Not at all. So I got back at them through court because I then just quickly educated myself.
Yeah.
And I mean, I said things in court. I could not believe the things that I was able to get away with when I went in there.
What did you say?
Oh, dude. So one, immediately defend yourself and tell the judge that you are going to be sue juris. Sue juris is the proper term when you're defending yourself.
Okay.
And going after them, which is what I'm doing right now. I'm pro se. Pro se. Just think of going pro se litigate means that you're going after them. But yeah. When you're defending yourself, you say, I'm here defending myself as sue juris. Cool. They can't. And that's the thing. They always, every time they get you to do something they want to do, it's because of unrebutted presumption, which 12 laws of presumption is mainly the way they get you into this entire agreement. So when you start rebutting your stuff and you start telling them that you are competent, well, sir, I don't know if you're competent enough to defend yourself. I'm going to go ahead and assign you a public defender. They'll do that too. They'll start right. And then you'll say, no. If they give you slack for it, just say, actually, I went to one of your schools. I actually got a master's degree at one of your public institutions. So therefore I am competent in your system.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what degree you got. Yeah. It could be social sciences or whatever.
Yeah.
The fact that you went to school under their matrix
yeah.
means believe that you're competent. So you can, it's all about unrebutted presumption.
Wow.
They presume you're stupid. They presume you're dead.
Wow. Just so, for the control of money. And if yep. people don't know how to stand up, it's really a battle of words. It's so crazy. A battle of knowledge. If you don't use the words to back up your knowledge and defend yourself, they'll take advantage.
They will. They will. So the best thing to start doing is really just saying, no, you can defend yourself. You can step into your power and literally own it. Own it. It's coming from the divine. Trust me. Most of everything that happened to me in that courtroom wasn't because of what I did. It was because of my faith and trust in the creator. I'm telling you, when you step into this American state national status, your spiritual essence sort of blossoms from there. You start activating codes and certain things that have been dormant in your body for a very long time. You start to remember who you really are. And that is just, I'm a living and breathing man, and I stand on my own two feet. And the only person that stands above me is God. That's it. When you go into the courtroom and they ask you, do you understand? No, I don't understand. I don't understand you. You don't stand above me.
Yeah.
File your paperwork immediately. I started filing certain paperwork. Meaning I wanted to flip it on them. I was like, no, you're not going to sit here and say that I did this, that I assaulted this police officer. So this guy Kirkland helped me out with the paperwork process. I started submitting statutes, titles, and things like that, using their language against them to flip it on them. And he's helped out certain people that, I will say one in the Trump administration, he's used this paperwork for President Trump as well, and certain things that Trump's been dealing with. So I started submitting the paperwork. They ran me through three different judges because no judge wanted, like every time I would go in for a hearing, I would get my way. And next thing you know, the next court hearing, a new judge would show up.
Whoa.
Because they're running around, they're terrified. They're like, this kid's going to annihilate me and I don't want this on my hands.
Wow.
So the last judge they gave me, the last judge, was his name was Judge Bluff.
What?
You can't make it up. It's all theatrics.
Wow.
They're all trying to scare you. And one, I knew I was going after the deep state at this point, because one, the arresting officer, you can see in the body cam footage, he has a serpent tattoo on his forearm and it's all chopped up into three different sections. That's one. The first bailiff during my first hearing after jail had an upside down pentagram on his forearm.
They're all corrupted up in there, dude.
All corrupted.
It's the Matrix, dude. There's a shitload of Agent Smiths out there. Like, it doesn't even matter what you look like. Deep inside, they find a way to put that virus in you.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all there to make sure that you, they're all gatekeepers. They want to trip you up. It's right there in plain sight. I mean, from the tattoos, from the way even when the judge walks out with the black robe, it's a summons. They're summoning the dead. Because they created your birth certificate, a fictitious entity was created, a vessel was created that is not living and breathing. And they look at you because you gave up your soul imprints through your feet. That's why they do it in black ink. They take your soul from your feet.
What the fuck? This is witchcraft shit. This is, yeah. We're in Zelda, man. We are in a realm.
So they're summoning you back to the ship. That's why every courtroom has the American flag with the gold fringes around it. Means you're captured at sea. It's piracy. They're a bunch of pirates.
Yeah.
They've taken your vessel. They've taken your trust. They've taken your money. And they're holding it as a bond over you. It's legit piracy of what they've done.
Wow.
So it's all presumption. They presume that you are this dead entity. They assume you've done something wrong. they get your tacit agreement by you not rebutting their presumption that you are a citizen, person, or resident, which are all corporate fictitious entities. Anyways, a citizen is a municipal. Zen, I think, is Greek for servant. You're a municipal servant. They look at you as a municipal servant. They're the municipal servants. They're the one holding office to protect the public and everything. But they through presumption, they presume you're dead. They assumed you've done something wrong. They get your tacit agreement. Yeah, I'm a citizen of blah, 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 of Sedona. And then they go off of hearsay in the courtroom, which is a bunch of lies. So they put you on this path, which is railroading. They put you on this path. Presumption, assumption, tacit agreement, hearsay.
Yeah, right away, without even, if you're not hip, they'll do it in 5 seconds.
5 seconds.
That's how it was when they first got me. And before I knew it, I was in a holding room for jail, and then they put me in a Zoom room.
Yep.
It's like, what is happening here? I didn't know the rules at all. They started talking, and they were lying. The prosecution was lying so much that I yelled out loud, "Your Honor, that's a lie." And then the judge got so pissed. He's like, "You cannot talk like this in my courtroom." I'm like, "Well, my bad. I didn't know." He's like, "If you want to talk to your lawyer, you got to ask your lawyer." And they put us in a breakout room. And then I'm like, "What the fuck is going on? I don't know shit about shit right now." Yeah. And then next thing I know, I'm 45 days in jail. But dude, it was like a movie. There was a guy who came in who looked, he felt like my brother, like a brother vibe. He was chubby and had an asthma machine, a CPAP breathing oxygen machine, whatever. And he had a huge cart with tons of books. This guy's name is Dwight. We call him D. He was like white, black. I couldn't tell what race he was. And he heard I was a documentary filmmaker and then showed me all of his books. And he had like Black's Law Dictionary. He had all kinds of information that you are now telling me. So this was the first time I'd ever heard it, was in jail. And I'm thinking, wait, what? I can do all this when I get out? So now it's great to follow up. And eventually, once this whole probation thing is done, I'm sure I'll have a little more courage to just go full throttle.
Yeah, absolutely. It gives the amount of power that you gain through this process is like I said, it's more spiritual than anything.
What did you say in the courtroom that made you go, "I can't believe I'm doing this right now"? Like what happened when he comes out in his black robe? Yeah.
Right. So like I said, they ran me through three judges. And then on the third hearing was my oral argument. And I get an email 3 days before the hearing from the prosecuting attorney. And she's like, "Oh, Matthew, now that I'm looking at the body cam footage," and this is like 3 months after she's had the footage, she's now just looking at it.
No.
She goes, "This case should have never been filed as a felony. This should have been, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the judge for a court dismissal and for him to bring it back down to the municipal level and get it out of county superior." So in my head, I go, "Oh, they don't want this case because they know their public servant, their officer screwed up big time."
Yeah.
Big time. So I said to myself, okay, that sounds easy, right? They thought that I would be like, "All right, cool. I'll just keep my mouth shut, get it dismissed, blah, 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 out of the superior level. And then, you know, wait on the Sedona to pick the case back up," which they won't do. They won't do. But no, I said, "Damn it." I go, "In 3 days, we're going to have my oral argument. And I'm not going to let her just freaking railroad me again because it was her mistake." So I filed some more. I motioned for a complete dismissal. And then she motioned a strike against my complete dismissal and said it needed to be brought back down to the municipal level. So what they did was the day of my court hearing, they changed the times on me.
Oh yeah, they do that. They do that.
Yeah. So I missed my court hearing, but I was already at the court and I called them and I said, no, I didn't miss. I'm here. And then they were like, okay, Matthew, you're here. And I go, yeah, I'm here. They thought I wasn't going to show up. That's their thing. They thought I was just going to like not show up, because in my head, I'm like, if she's going to ask for a court dismissal, then why do I need to show up? right? Mm-hmm. I'm defending myself. They thought I was going to play that card. No, I showed up.
Hype, bro. Way to bust their asses. When I first got moved to DC's jail from Virginia's jail, I was stoked. I was stoked because I was at the jail before that. I thought I was going to get my ass beat by a bunch of black dudes from DC who were all Black Lives Matter. And then they took me in the middle of the night, not them, but to transfer to the next jail. And I knew that I had a court that day. So, and I knew what it was. It was for bond. And once I got to the next jail, we waited in the waiting room, whatever, the holding room, for so long that we passed my time for the court appearance. And I just knew they did it on purpose. And then I found out later on that they had changed the time and they made it to when it was when I was traveling from one jail to the next. I'm like, why would you guys do that? You know, this is now I get it. Now I see they're just full of trickery, man.
Trickery. And yeah. And it's trafficking. That's why they say you're sitting out in traffic. You're part of the human trafficking that they're doing. They're just moving people. It's all, I'm stuck in traffic. Yeah, that's why they say you're stuck in traffic, because you are. You're trafficking their stuff. You're helping them move their goods, their people, their cattle, whatever you want, however you want to say it.
Yeah. So
all they're doing with you is moving you. And every time they move you, more money is involved. They're pulling more money from your assessed
accumulation. Exactly. Yes, the longer they kept me in there, the more money they got every day. That's what I was learning too. And then I started calculating how many people are in this one jail and how much money is this jail making? And look at the food that they're giving us. None of the money's going to the food.
No.
Some of the meat they give you is not for human consumption.
So the day of court, so I'm going to get back to, is that cool if I get back to what I said in court?
Yeah, keep going. Yeah. I'm going to self-medicate, but I'm going to do it like this, but just keep going.
Yeah.
Because I just got to take care of myself.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So the day of court, I walk in after getting everything all situated with the whole switching of the times and everything. And because of the paperwork that I filed and claiming my status as an American state national, sometimes good officers from the Navy, they're called JAG officers. They're there to come in to make sure that the judge is going to be constitutional with you. And they usually give you a JAG officer if you're defending yourself. So it's up to that JAG officer to see an interesting case, to be like, you know what? I'm going to show up today for this kid.
Oh.
So I walk in the court and the bailiff comes up, and now it's this intimidating bailiff. He's not wearing his regular uniform. He's got on like more of a scarier uniform. He's got the whole mask thing going, you know, trying to intimidate me. And he goes, sit over there. And I'm like, over there? And he goes, yeah. And he pointed at the prosecution table. Then a JAG officer from the Navy walks in behind me.
What?
And sits at my table.
Oh.
So because of the paperwork I filed, I flipped the script. I became the prosecutor that day.
What the fuck, bro? You didn't expect this?
No, because, you know, the prosecution table is on the right. On the left is the defendant's table. They sat me at the right table.
Oh my God.
The table on the right.
Because they didn't even expect for you to come even. So now it shows that they still
didn't want
by the rules.
She didn't want to have an oral argument. I made sure that we were going to have an oral argument. So they even the prosecuting attorney didn't show up. She has to. She was doing it from her office because she was that scared to go up against me.
Because so, they don't know what you know, but obviously they know you know it all.
So I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, so I get up to the table. Next thing you know, I'm like, not showing that I'm scared. I'm like, hey guys, how's it going? And I slouch. I'm at the table just like this. And I'm like tapping and I'm like doing this on the desk. And the judge goes, okay, we're blah, 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 read everything. Okay. And then he goes, prosecution has something to talk about, Mr. Tuccheroni, about her motion to strike against your motion for complete dismissal. And I said, yeah. And he goes, did you get that? And I'm like, no, I haven't seen anything from her. Well, she said she sent it to you like a couple weeks ago. And I said, you know what, Your Honor? I go, because of the mess that the Sedona PD has put me into, I go, I had to leave town. I go, it's actually hard for me to actually get my mail right now because I'm all over the place because of what your agency has done to me, Your Honor. And he goes, okay, Miss Parker, read your motion to strike. And so she read it, and then he looks at me, he goes, did you get that? And I said, huh? He said, did you hear what she said? And I said, what? And then he goes, do you understand? That's where I bear trapped him. And I said, no, I don't understand, Your Honor. And he goes, okay. He goes, state your name for the record, your full name. And I just sat there. Didn't say a word.
Smart.
And he goes, Mr. Tuccheroni. And I go, yes. He goes, state your full name. And I said, so about 30 seconds of being silent, he goes, okay, here's what we're going to do. And then I said, all right, you know what, Your Honor? My name in lower caps is Matthew Paul Tuccheroni. Therefore, I was letting him know that I'm not this fictitious entity and that this all caps name that they've created, that they're actually talking to the living and breathing man who is Matthew Paul Tuccheroni. And he goes, all right, bailiff, put the motion to strike on his desk and let him read it. And maybe he'll understand then. And I look at it and I'm like, flick. I flicked it off the desk.
Oh my God.
And it hit the ground and the typewriter, the clerk stops typing. She's like doing this. And I go, I'll get that, Your Honor. See, the whole thing is have some fun with them. Wow. I go, I'll get that, Your Honor. And I pick it up and I go, yeah, I go, I don't accept this offer either. He goes, on what grounds? I go, on presumption, Your Honor. He goes, which presumption? I said, all 12 presumptions in the court of law. I do not accept this contract.
Right to his face, bro.
Right to his face.
The Wizard of Oz, bro. This is, I think, the greatest display of balls. You know, people rock climb and shit. That takes balls. But this, I think, takes the cake, bro. When you're speaking to the representative of Satan himself, in a way, and you're calling them out with your words.
Yeah, that's it. And it's, you don't need to like master this stuff, just know a little bit. Like, I don't know every 12 presumption. I can't name that right now. I mean, I got them and I know how to use them now in my documents.
Yes.
But like when he said which presumption, I'm like, all 12 of them, they all lead to the same road. You put me on a path. Wow. All 12 presumptions, Your Honor. And he goes, okay. And then I go, and I motioned for a complete dismissal. And he goes, on what grounds? I go, on grounds of trespass, Your Honor. I said, your agency, your officer of the city of Sedona trespassed. And I pointed it right at my heart. I said, trespassed on me, Your Honor. On me. I did nothing wrong for him to touch me the way he did, but your officer violated, first of all, I go, he violated my personal property, which is my body. Second, he violated my Second Amendment rights. And he goes, well, how so? And I said, Miss Parker, to the prosecuting attorney, I said, they took my gun out of my glove box. And in Arizona, everybody, we don't have gun laws. You can walk into a store, buy a gun, strap it on, don't need a license. There's no gun laws here. So we take our Second Amendment very serious in this state. And we also have the least violent crime around the country. And we're like a free Second Amendment state. So
wow.
Go for that. You know, so we take it serious. So my firearm was in my glove box when the cop had pulled me over, and they took my firearm out of the glove box and said it was evidence. So I said to the judge, I go, Your Honor. He goes, well, where was your weapon? I go, it's not a weapon. It's a firearm. I go, if I brandished it, it would have been then considered a weapon. And he goes, okay, so where was your firearm? And I said, it was in my glove box concealed. And he turns to the prosecuting attorney on the screen and he goes, Miss Parker, was his gun evidentiary to this case? And she's flipping through her paperwork. No, Your Honor. He goes, then why does the city of Sedona have that man's gun? And then he sat there, he goes, you know what? I'm going to have to figure out how to do this, Mr. Tuccheroni, but they have to relinquish your gun then if it wasn't evidentiary. And he turned to the prosecuting attorney for a second time. He says, I'm going to ask you one more time. Was his gun evidentiary to this case? And she said, no, Your Honor. So I pretty much from there then out, he then asked me, he goes, so what's the best way for her to get in contact with you after today's hearing? And I said, probably by email, since, you know, I don't have a home anymore and I've been ran out of the city of Sedona because of the police brutality against me. And then I'm scared for my life, Your Honor. Probably email is best. He goes, all right, what's your email? And I go, all right. I go, M is in Matt. And I go, actually, Your Honor, M is in Matthew. P is in Paul. T is in Thomas. 08. E as in Ezekiel. And he goes, could you just write that down for me?
Oh,
head started turning around like Linda Blair in The Exorcist when I started spitting out those disciples and those apostles, and he just could not. That's what you do. You step into your power. And in my left hand, I had my little cross right here, and I'm twisting it. I'm twisting the cross as I'm speaking this to him.
God, bro, this is a fucking movie. How did you, something took over you or what? Were you a class clown growing up? Like, how did you become this in the moment?
That's the thing. It was all divine. That's all I can say, bro. I don't know who that was in that courtroom, but like, I mean, flicking paperwork. I mean, telling them that they trespassed on me. I mean, that's how you got to play this. Every court case is going to go different too. I'm not telling everybody out there to use that tactic, because you got to gauge. You got to get an understanding of who you're dealing with and how to handle it. Every case is different. If I go to court tomorrow, I'm probably not going to use that same tactic. I might actually have to sit there and really dig deep into David Strait's like methods. But for the time being, it worked for me. It was all divine, to be honest, because you step into it. Yeah. You step into this person, this people, not person, of who you are again, and you're free. You're free.
I feel it from you. I feel it. I feel like, I think it was Matrix 3, and it was Neo and Trinity, and they're in the Nebuchadnezzar, I think, and it goes up and above the clouds just for a minute, and they're out of the matrix and they see the sun. In your story, when you're telling that, I felt like I got to ride through your perspective, but I'm back down here, man. And you're almost there. So I'm encouraged to do whatever I got to do to get there, man. I'm lucky to know you and Anil. I don't know if you saw yesterday's episode with Anil, but man, that was just as mind blowing as this.
Okay.
But I would love for a round table for all of our minds to get together, you, Jason Q, Anil, and just see what happens, you know, just like see how censored we get. I don't really know.
Yeah, that would be, I would totally be open to it.
Cool. Cool.
And yeah, I mean, what I can say to people out there is like, look, after doing this process, I got my case dismissed. They tried to bring it down to the municipal level. Yeah. But I went to the city hall in Sedona with my megaphone, and I'm like screaming outside at the prosecuting attorney for the city. And I said, Kurt, you're going to pick up my case and prosecute me at the municipal level now? I'm like out there. Nope. They won't take it. They won't. And they that's an admission of guilt. So therefore, I'm filing a claim against the city of Sedona right now.
And what happens after that? After the claim? You're suing them for money?
Yeah, for damages.
How much can
you? So once they don't, one, they took my DNA sample at the jail too, on top of that.
That's crazy. So you can bill for that. Can you make your own prices up when you're billing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. my DNA sample is worth $5 million for me.
That's cool, man. So you just, that's kind of cool. But now we're really all playing a game where we're all gods, basically.
Yeah, because here's the thing. When you defend yourself, yeah. You're the fiduciary. Yeah, this is how much you owe me. These are my prices. This is my time. You know, not to mention, I lost that car. I lost my business because of it. My business partner went crazy. And we're getting along again now, but he went kind of like, oh my God, what are you doing? This is too extreme, Matthew. You're out of control. So we liquidated our business, got rid of my property. I had 42 acres in Northern Arizona that was supposed to be for prepping and retreat and all that. Yeah. Kind of just everything once, and people don't realize this, I'm not playing the victim, but what that cop did just in that little act of him lying, perjury, first of all, perjury, what he did caused a huge domino effect in my life. And they're out there and walking around like, sent another one to jail. And it's not funny. It's disgusting. Yeah. I lost my business. I lost my brand new car. I lost a lot of shit because of this. And now I'm like, I'm on the up and up. I'm trying to get everything back. You know, but this is my story. This is what happens to people out there who just want to be free. And then this corrupt government, they don't leave you alone. They just don't. This police station's highly corrupt. I walked in there. It's on one of my videos. There's Freemason symbols right next to their name on their plaques in the lobby of this police station.
Wow.
And 90% of our police officers are Freemasons. 100%. According to David Strait.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe it. Damn, bro.
And they're controlled by the UN. The UN can come in at any time and declare a state of emergency. And that's the thing. There's two types of locker rooms in the police stations here at the municipal level. And that's because of the Publications Act that I talked about, 6227 of 1961, where the UN came through the State Department. Here's the thing. The UN is a foreign entity. We're also a foreign entity. So there are two foreign entities which can't contract with one another, but they use a third party system like the State Department to be that liaison between the two fictitious entities. So like for us, when going in the court, a contract is between like kind. Can a man contract with a man? Yes. Can a man contract with that fictitious entity, a judge? No. But they get you into that tacit agreement again, citizen, person, or resident, where they think you're dead and you need CPR, citizen, person, resident, to revive you. They get you into that. Oh, yeah. They get you in that tacit agreement. So therefore, yeah, I'm a citizen. Cool. Now you can contract with a judge because the judge is a dead entity too.
Oh, this is evil, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm fucking shocked. I thought I knew a lot, and I really don't know that. What's your advice for people who are just blown away and also want to learn to retain it, enough to have the confidence to go to battle? How did you do it?
I would say start educating yourself immediately right now. And there are awesome seminars out there that David Strait has done. The Utah seminar is the best one out there. You can find it on BitChute. Just type in David Strait, Straight. Go to his day one seminar, just day one in Utah. And if you're not blown away or convinced to do this process after that 2.5 hour video, then you're afraid. Don't be afraid. Get rid of your fear. Here's the thing, guys. We cannot, if you really want to make a change, this is the action plan. This is the action plan. And the thing is here's what people don't realize. So David Strait was a commissioner that sat on the Commission for Human Trafficking for President Trump.
Wow. Fucking boss.
Okay. And David Strait's been educating people ever since really Trump took office. Oh, Trump knows this.
Yes, he's part of the plan.
He's part of the plan. Trump has been a state national since 2008.
I knew it. That's why, like, he doesn't have to show his taxes or pay him, you know?
Yeah, exactly, bro. Exactly. People don't realize, but once you realize about this process, you're like, oh, makes sense why he never has to produce his taxes.
Yeah.
Makes sense why he got away with certain things in office. And anyone can be a state national. Here's the thing. When you hold dominion over all three jurisdictions, yeah, President Trump, when he's acting in office from 8 to 5, whatever, every day, he has to actually follow the rules of commerce. Okay. But when he gets home and he takes his hat off, he's back to the land and soil jurisdiction, and he's a common law, common citizen, common man. They can't touch him. Why do you think Hillary Clinton's been able to get away with murder? She knows this stuff too.
Exactly, bro. Exactly. Once I learned this, I thought about all of that. Bill Clinton, I think it was 1996, laid on an executive order that any point in a criminal case, you can bust out your political claim. You can make your political claim. And he did that for, if it wasn't him, his friends. Mm-hmm. For anybody who wasn't sovereign yet and was in getting in trouble, they could stop it in its tracks.
Yep. This is part of the plan. And that's what I can tell people, is get behind this, because in 2019 in the Rose Garden, Trump handed David Strait a hat and said, I've signed 4 executive orders. I've restored the Republic. It's up to the people. And that day he had to get on a plane and get out of there, because the thing is they were after him. He's restored the Republic. And now it's up to us to get enough nationals situated so that, here's the thing, we can fix the election of 2020 all we want, but that election was rigged under the old de facto corporation.
Let's watch our words, so that, because it's a new one, I noticed. It's okay.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. Yeah.
But so, you can say it was jigged. I know. Wait, is that the same thing? Say it was bought. It was
fixed.
It was, yeah. Yeah. It was, or you say allegedly, or
yeah. So with that said, President Biden would be the president of nothing, because.
Exactly. That's why I really truly believe the devolution theory, that, you know, the devolution theory. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the 4 executive orders. I think he was saying, he set everything in motion. When you do something like, when you find out that your country is, it's hard to say it now, when the elections, you know, are done, if you are aware that it's part of your own country that is planning on doing that to yourself, that gives Trump all permission to pull the trigger on a few executive orders that would then enable him to preserve the essential functions of the government. And when you do that, you don't just do it a public memo. You find the most trustworthy people in each section of the government that won't spill the beans. So I think he maybe had just a handful of people, and we know who those people are now. And that's what people are confused, because they don't, how do people know that? You know, you got to really dig into it to figure that stuff out. But where we are now, where are we going, considering what you're saying Trump said to him is it's up to the nationals, basically? Like,
it's up to the people. Yeah. So pretty much it's up to the people to make a difference, correct your status, get reeducated, because the indoctrination goes so deep, and pretty much correct your status so you understand that you're going to be now part of the original republic of this country, which is what it was intended for before stinking Lincoln took office. And I can give a quick rundown on what happened with that real quick, so everybody understands exactly what happened. So, and this ties into what Trump did, but it was the undoing of Lincoln's laws, by the way. Abe Lincoln was a Marxist. And he tried to run for president five times. And the people of his own state was like, absolutely not. We don't, they, no one, look, just do your research. Go on DuckDuckGo. Look up some of the letters written about Lincoln prior to him taking office. Nobody wanted him because he was a Marxist. And he was also part of the Bar Association, which is illegal. You can't do that. You can't be, it's called titles of nobility, which I believe is, yeah, TONAS, Titles of Nobility Act, that was set in place pretty much saying that you cannot hold a title of office and also run for an elected position like president. But it wasn't until the bankers of Philadelphia, Boston, Chicago, and New York funded his campaign and gave him $7 million. Now think about that in the 1800s. That's a lot of money. Okay. So they funded him. They put him in office. So what he did was he bankrupted the de jure government, which is our government, the de jure government of we the people. He bankrupted that government, put in the Delaware Corporation. Another reason why Delaware is such a hot topic today with you know who, why he keeps going to Delaware.
Yeah.
Because that's a safe haven. That's where the Delaware Corporation is. That's where a lot of the corporatized bullshit came from, was out of the Delaware Corporation.
Wow. That he put in. Lincoln. Yep.
Lincoln put in, and then Lincoln put the Grand Republic Army in charge of the country. Therefore, he was no longer considered president. He was considered commander in chief, CEO, commanding executive officer, commander in chief. Then the Civil War happened. It was all over money.
It's all planned.
It was all over money. And then in 1871, after the Civil War, the Congress then passed an act called the Congressional Act of 1871, which fully corporatized this country. So what Trump did by signing those four executive orders, he was reversing everything that Lincoln had started. And now he bankrupted their corporation, just like Lincoln bankrupted our de jure government. Trump bankrupted their corporation. So essentially, you know who is the president of nothing. There's nothing left.
There's nothing left.
Nothing.
Wow.
It's the will of the people at this point. Trump has done everything he can, guys, for us. And he's still going to be there in the background. But it's at the will of the people at this point. I'm telling you guys this with a very serious face. Get educated. Understand your history so you exactly know exactly what happened. And two, Nick, this also ties in with the whole Civil War crap going on. You know, there's a couple, I don't really want to drop this on YouTube, but there's a couple videos in your content on Good Lion TV that talks about the Great Reset in the early 1800s, the mid 1860s. So this would make sense why this was pulled back then as well. That happened.
Mr. Truth Bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, there, that's why it's like, I'm glad that you're like jumping into this, because there's a lot of truth bombs on your platform that only a few of us really know about. And when we talk about Europa and talk about, you know, our position on this planet.
You know,
it makes sense to what was said in those documentaries about a Great Reset possibly happening in the 1860s worldwide. I think the Civil War was part of that. I think there was a lot. I think we're on to something here by understanding what happened.
Wow. Our status. Yeah, we are. Holy shit. You're like an angel, bro.
I know that's a lot, and I hope I've done justice explaining to your audience right now of like what it is to really step into the state national stuff. I mean, I'm kind of like all over the place, and we're trying to figure out, trying to like get everything into a more clear way of explaining this, because there's a lot to it. It's going to take a team. That's all I can say. It's going to take a team of people to really
get
squared away. And even David Strait wants, he even said, he goes, I want some of the younger people out there teaching this stuff.
Yes, that's fantastic.
He does. He's not here to hold information. He actually like loves this, that we're doing this right now.
Yeah.
He wants us to get educated. We have about a year left, guys, to wake people up.
You want to make a movie? You want to make a movie and get you and other people who flex like a nil, people who have flexed like fucking Eduardo, in who flexed in, like, if when people see the stories that have shown that it's real, that it can be learned and tested and won with, I think the spiritual benefit is going to outweigh everything. And people have no idea. Like, it's like a fish doesn't know what it's like to be out of water. It's going to be that. It sounds like it's that amazing.
I'm down. Let's do it.
Cool.
Let's do out it. Of water. No one's ever made a movie on this or a docuseries at all on this whole entire political status at all thing at all as being a state national. There's so much history too. I mean, I'll throw another one out there. Did you know there were 14 presidents before George Washington?
What the titties, dude?
I mean, it's all there. And I suggest, really, guys, watching David Strait's Utah Seminar Part 1. It's 2.5 hours long, but it's going to be, you're going to want more. You're going to want more. And then you're going to want to correct your status. And you can do that by going to statenational.us, which is the David Strait method. And he's there. I mean, you pay $80 for the video content, and then you get every document, everything on there. The Declaration of 2020 that President Melania Trump signed on July 4th of 2020 as well. It was not recreating the Declaration of Independence. It was an addendum to it, as in, like, the people now have to take this country back again.
This is it. It's on us. Yes, we have to do it. Individually.
We have to.
Yeah.
We have to.
There's so much assistance now out there. And there's assemblies in almost every state. But then you also got to realize assemblies, there's even drama in between some assemblies. So,
Well, here's the thing. Like I said, I came from the Anna Von Wright stuff. That's an assembly. Okay. There's something not right. There's also ploys as well being sent out there to cause division within the system so that it looks like it's a bunch of lies and all that. I suggest we're trying to get away from government structure. We're not anti-government, but we're anti-big government, okay? Self-governance is within all of us. These assemblies aren't working because people have not been able to really craft self-governance within themselves. They still want to do things the corporate way. They still want to do things the old way. I would say stay away from state assemblies. And this is from my own experience by getting heavily involved. And Anna Von Wright's does not get you fully free. Okay.
Oh, good to know.
She leads you astray. And whether, you know, whether she means to do it or she doesn't, even in the Bible, it says good people will lead people astray. But I honestly, from the stuff that she's pulling lately and the people that I've been talking to, I don't trust her. I'm going to say that right there. I've never publicly been able to come out and say this, but I'm here today to tell you to don't get involved with assemblies, to learn how to self-govern, become an independent state national under the David Strait process. The assemblies will come eventually. Just think about it. We're in no position right now to even be forming assemblies. We don't even have enough people, first of all, educated on this. So why are we going to form our own assemblies right now? We have to break the structure down first. And the only way to do that is to become Neos, where we have to go in and out of the matrix when necessary, because that's the reality we're living in right now. We're not there yet. The whole matrix hasn't been brought down. That's why we have to do this process, so that we're able to go in and out of the matrix at certain times until we're ready to dismantle it. So that's where we're at. Mickey Klon from Bonds from the Wind just sent me over this. And I really want to show you guys that, like, teaming up with these patriot groups is a good thing.
I just want to make movies about this now.
Yeah.
Got a year, you're saying, and why is that?
Say that again.
Remember earlier you said we have a year.
We have a year. All right. So in September 23rd, 2017, it's Revelation 12 started, which you have about 2,000 days. There's something about 2,000 days in Revelation 12 that David Strait said in one of his seminars that we have to wake people up. Look up Revelation 12. It has to do with the 144,000 as well. The 144. Mickey Klon's great at this. She would be someone awesome to have on your show, Nick. She can gematria and all the way when it comes to like 144. She'll talk to me on the phone. She'll be like, da 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 da. Yeah, codes, right? And it's just way over my head because I'm like, she's about the coding in the matrix. Yeah. She's about breaking the numbers down. I'm more about the law and dealing with these crooks, but so it has to do with the 144,000. David Strait even said September 23rd started the clock on 2017. So if you think about it, I did the math. September 23rd of this year, we will have about 165 days left of that 2000 day mark to wake people up. So I thought in my head, I'm like, okay, 165 days from September of this year. So we have about a year, guys, around March this time next year to get people to get that 10% that we need.
Wow. And it would be the year 23. It would be 323, 32223.
Yep.
It'd be around that time. Yeah. I wonder what's going to happen.
Yeah. Things are going to start picking up too. I have a feeling. Weird things are going to start happening. I've talked to a couple. Mickey says, don't use the word astrology, use the word astronomy for some reason. I guess that's the real study of like our planets and everything that everyone said. I don't know. That's her thoughts. But it's all written in the stars. It is.
Really is.
She did a really awesome video with Scott McKay. I'm going to actually send all this to you, Nick, so you can then get it out to your audience as well. Okay. She did an awesome video with Scott McKay from 2021 of this time last year, and it's called Revelation. Ooh. And she got on Stellarium and started showing you everything is written in the stars. We've always had the answers. It's just the way that astrology has been used recently. It's the way it's been used. It's not, there's nothing bad with astrology. God's given us literally the book.
Yeah.
The book is right up there.
Dude, check this out, man. I used to prescribe to the Western astrology before I went to college. I was checking out that shit a lot. And then I got into an astronomy class in college, and it was dope. And a friend of mine was at another university doing astronomy as well, way advanced. But he gave me a software that you could literally type any time in history, and you can put any place attached to it and see what the sky looked like on that specific moment. And so I did my birthday and I got to see what was rising on the horizon, and I got to see all the constellations, and I noticed they weren't synced up with the Western. Right. And that's when I thought, what, how is that even possible then? And then I discovered Vedic astrology, and I noticed Vedic astrology had almost all of them correct, except there's one weird thing. When you look at our stars now, I think, I don't know how you pronounce it. Epiphycus. There's one constellation there that I don't think any of them take account of, which is weird because your planet might be in it. And if it's in it, it's misrepresented anywhere else if it's not saying it's from that specific.
Right.
But still, you know, you're like, it ties back to what you're saying. It's maybe they manipulated astrology just so we would think one thing and not actually have the truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what has happened. Exactly what happened.
Dude, we would make the fucking coolest movie, man.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's all tying in. So this is for Mickey, and this is our process. Step one, put the public servants back in their place using the existing matrix rules. This will dismantle their brainwashed army and courts, which is go to bondsforthewin.com. Learn how to pull these bonds. Learn how to file an affidavit against their claim. Step two, declare our independence. We can't set a plan in motion unless we declare it. So go to wethepeopledeclareindependence.com. That's where you can sign the petition for the addendum to the Declaration of Independence that Trump set forth out there. So wethepeopledeclareindependence.com. To go there, declare it. You have to declare and decree. Okay.
Wethepeopledeclareindependence.com.
Yep. Step three, become a state national. Leave the matrix. Once you're a state national, stop feeding the old system. No more taxes as well. Step five, reclaim your straw man and all tangible assets. That is your living trust that you're going to create, which the executor is going to be obviously God, and you are the fiduciary and the trustee as well. Step six, remove money from banks and circulate via microlending, i.e. Kiva.com or Kiva. Step seven, buy local.
Yes.
Regardless, I think the war will be over soon. Ukraine, Taiwan, Israel. That's her little code for me today.
Wow. Yeah. No,
all know they're saving Israel for last as well. So we know that. So
yeah, Taiwan just had their earthquake that all of a sudden just happened.
Yep.
That's manipulated. They targeted that. Dude, this has been a great podcast. You want to come on again soon?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe like next week. I know people are hungry for it. People love this kind of conversation. Like, have you seen the chat? Have you been looking at the chat?
I have not. No, I've been strictly.
Are you used to blowing people away like this? Like,
well, I mean, here's the thing, you know, I'm on my channel on YouTube, Jurisdiction. You know, my following, I only hit 500 today, people will email me and tell me how much I'm blowing their mind and stuff. But like, I honestly haven't really, I mean, is the chat going crazy?
Yeah, dude, for sure. People love it. People love it. I haven't seen engagement from my chat like this ever. It's become the most exciting topic to dive into. Like yesterday was a nil and people had the stamina to listen to him for 2.5 hours because he's also a very great speaker. But for 2.5 hours, trying to wrap your mind around these concepts, there's something about it that's so liberating and it's like has the most reward attached to it that people are excited. This is like getting whispers from Morpheus in your ear and learning that you can do this and wake up and feel how you were intended to feel as God intended us to feel. But we've been hijacked. We see it in all my movies. We've seen it in all of our research. Everything in this realm has been hijacked, but it's just a hijack. You can hijack it back. So, and that's the beauty of it. And that's why I love seeing it. The people are fucking, yeah. Chat loves it, dude.
Awesome. Well, good. Yeah. I'm seeing it now. That's awesome.
And I put your channel up there too. Everyone, make sure you check it out. Jurisdiction is the name. And then here's the link. Kapow.
Yeah. I changed it to Oh, that's cool. I just see Norma just said, Mickey is a ray of sunshine. Yep. Cool. I mean, so people know who Mickey Klein is, definitely. Yeah. Thank you so much for putting that up there on the chat. I changed the name from Matthew Paul Tuccheroni, the Jurisdiction, like a month ago. And now YouTube, I'm not even searchable anymore, the assholes. But
whoa. No, that's even cooler, man. Now watch. We're going to watch those numbers grow because I don't think they can. There's nothing they can really kick you off for when you're.
Honestly, no, I haven't. You know, I mean, I've been censored a couple times. I've had a video taken off, but that was because I and that's another topic of discussion, but I healed an autoimmune disorder on my own. So when I talked about that, they took that video down, but
bro, you're gonna love Anil. Sorry to interrupt, but Anil is the same kind of guy as you, man. Like he's healing using modalities that are frequency and sound, or I don't know, you can't say healing, but he's helping support ailments and shit.
Yeah.
Same as you. And he's a master at sovereignty. I look at him as a master, but he might not think himself as one. But when we all have a conversation, we're all going to just plan a movie.
Yeah, let's do it. Dude, I think this is a great idea. I think planning this movie is awesome. I'm down. Like, let's do it. We've got to do this. Yeah. We got to get this movie out there. You know, there's some connections that I have. You know, I was the reason how I met Chad. Chad's the one who put us in contact. I love that guy, dude.
That is like the essence. If I had Tony Robbins as a friend, I feel like it'd be Chad. Chad, you know, he kind of sounds like him too. Mm-hmm.
I met him at the Reawaken tour in San Diego.
Oh, cool. Oh yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
Clark's event. Yeah. So I met him there and I was actually in media the whole entire time I was there. I didn't even watch any of the speakers, but I was going around media dropping this whole entire, like everything that we talked about today, mm-hmm. No one's ever heard of, like they've heard of it there, but even like General Flynn and all of them, I don't think they've really seen somebody like just show up to this event and just start dropping these truths. And that's the thing. I'm like, guys, we got to stop waving a flag. We can talk so much on stage and everything, but here's the solution. Yeah. We, the people, it's in our power now. This message needs to get out there.
Yeah.
And I have a way of showing you how to do it. You got to go through David Strait's process. And luckily I ran into Ann Vandersteel in media and she's a state national. She's gone through David Strait's process. And I told her about my incident with the police. And she wants to interview me now too. So like the thing is that people like Anne, an influencer, is picking up on this. Oh, and that's something I was telling everybody at this event, was like, we got to really promote this. So I'm hoping like if we can get a good movie together.
Oh yeah.
We can get this in the hands of like Anne Vandersteel, Mickey Klon and all that. We could make this.
Already off the bat, Scott McKay will invest in us as a producer. He's already a producer on some of the films I did before. And awesome. Mel Kay is a dope friend of Anne, and Mel Kay is a dope friend of mine. So like when everyone gets an idea of what we're building, boom, it's just going to explode because everyone's going to want to. This is the biggest weapon. It's the biggest weapon you could have. Smart tool. Yeah. It's the plug. This is crazy, man.
Yeah, no, we're gonna make this happen. I mean, there's a reason why I was in San Diego. There's a Chad. You know, Chad. I had to meet Chad. Yeah. I mean, I met a lot of cool people. I had my arm around General Flynn and everything, but like, dude, like I'm just like Chad.
Yeah. You know, I had to meet Chad. I met in Nashville. I went to the Truth About Cancer, the event there, and that was a special thing. I got to hang out with Mickey Willis and Dale Bigtree, and we were all drinking. It was kind of like, and I had an ankle monitor. So I got to tell him a story for a little bit. And, but Chad was there and he's just cool. He was just a cool dude. I didn't know him. And then we just struck up a conversation and then kept in touch. And every time we'd wander in this huge aquarium, it felt like where we were, it was like a biodome. It's like a huge dome in Nashville as a convention center. You're just in this world of your own. So for 3 days, you sleep there, you eat there, you go to different venues there. Yeah, it was cool. So Chad just kept on brushing by. And then he was in San Diego, came up here when he was on his way up back home. And he, that guy's magical, bro. He's magical. Yeah. The people he's connected me to already, it's some people are just fantastic at that, bringing people together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's my friend Meg. She's eventually going to be doing PR for me. Cause I have a feeling things are going to start taking off very soon. So, yeah. which needs to happen, which I've been doing this, you know, for 2 years now. I've been kind of behind the scenes, been just, you know, like I said, I've gone through it. God humbles you in a certain way, everybody. For me, mine was, you know, stripping me of everything that I've had, everything that I've known, whether it had to be going through that police, you know, incident with the Sedona PD and then me losing everything. It brought me to a place of being humble again. And I'm just at that point where it's been 2 years and it's time to actually start figuring out a way to have a career out of this whole entire thing now.
So yeah.
Oh, that's kind of where I'm at. So building my channel and everything, and I'm currently working on my website as well.
Yeah.
That might, if we do a movie, you know, my website's going to be, it's Jurisdiction, Reclaiming Your American Status. So like it could be, you know, my website could be a launching point for the documentary too, on top of your platform.
Yeah.
Be a way of, you know, so that's.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And would you be offering a service to guide people on this, or would you offer products like videos or tutorials in order to generate revenue to make this your living? So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's where I'm at with this, because like I said, like David Strait has the process. It's not necessarily my process.
Yeah.
But I think creating some sort of educational series out of this would be important as a way for me to monetize, I would say. But yeah. At the same time, I'm like, that's kind of where I'm stuck at. I'm like, where do I want to go? Maybe making this movie would be part of the whole process of getting content out there. So I'm kind of brainstorming right now, but I definitely would like to get a website going and kind of see, you know, where I would fit in to monetize. Cause I'm not, you know, I didn't become a patriot because I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be rich. I want to make money.
No.
I did it out of the kindness of my heart, and I've suffered for 2 years. I've given up everything that I've known, walked away from a lot, walked away from my family. But at some point, you know, it's time to monetize. And that's where I'm at right now. So I'm just trying to figure out ways of doing it and getting a good team together.
Oh, it's happening, bro. It's happening 100%. I have great ideas. I'll share with you offline. And
absolutely.
I'm excited for you, man. I can see you going on Nino's show. I can see you going on Scott's, telling your story there. And then your channel is going to grow on your website. So yeah, let's keep doing this. Let's do this weekly. And then I'll share some ideas with you. I do have to go because I have another podcast in 30 minutes.
Absolutely.
But damn, bro. Thank you so much for sharing your whole heart and struggle and journey and everything, dude. This is massive. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I hope, you know, if we keep this going weekly, I mean, I'm ready to just drop truce, like get people going into the right direction. So really, thank you everybody out there listening. Like seriously.
I wanted to bring up one thing is that it feels intuitively that us making a film or a series and aiming big with it, in the sense that if we want to test if white hats are in control of certain distribution networks, like let's say Amazon or Netflix or Redbox, we could attempt to sell or lease whatever the film to one of these distributions. And if they allow it, it's a sign that they're ready for the world to know. Yeah. So, or however it works, but yeah, that's one way to find out.
Yeah. And the world needs to know too, because every other country has been trapped in the same system as well. So anybody can be a national of their country as well.
This to me is worthy of the saying, the Great Awakening. You know, this is the Great Awakening.
Right. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. 7 steps that Mickey typed up for me to read. This is it. Mm-hmm. Declare, decree, you know, hold your public officials accountable through bonds for the win. I mean, all of this is it right here. This is the roadmap.
Boom, baby.
The roadmap, everybody. So I'm right. Looking. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much, Matthew. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah.
It's been great having you. Everybody, make sure you follow him. I put the link in there and I'll put it in the description. All right. I'll talk to you offline, and dude, I look forward to more conversations.
Definitely. Sounds good. Awesome. Thanks, everybody out there. Thank you so much.
Download this episode, guys, as fast as you can, just in case.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, brother.